Hello.
Hello. And welcome to the Enjoy an Album podcast with Liam Withnow and Christopher MacArthur Boyd. Thank you for listening, streaming, downloading, if you're 100.
Did you notice that I wore a shirt that was kind of the same colour as the record sleeve?
Oh, that's sick. That's actually cool.
I'm an actually cool guy.
Yeah.
From Matt Hilder's Bone Collection.
Oh, is that what that's from?
Yes, this was designed by Matt Hilder's.
Matt Hilder of the Arctic Monkeys.
The Agile Beast himself.
Yeah, interesting. Anyway, audio listeners care not what we
about the colour of my shirt.
What we are wearing, but I do love that. I do like that synergy between the album cover. I can't wait until we cover the Black Album and I can just wear a black
t-shirt. Jay-Z or Metallica?
Both.
At the same time.
So listen,
just a wee thing you want to say. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I'm just excited for you to see it.
Okay. Tomorrow, or if you're listening to this in the future, previously, the Patreon is finally launching February the 1st. You might be listening to this in the year 2045. So February 1st, 2023, Patreon is launching. What's going to be there when you sign up? There is already an episode waiting. This episode will never be public released.
Never.
This episode is for you, hardcore Enjoy an Album subscribers only.
Become an Enjoy an Album Ultra.
The first episode is there, and it is Robbie Williams' Sing When You're Winning. The next episode comes out in a few days, and that is Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden, Number of the Beast.
And then every 2 weeks after that, we will be releasing an extra Patreon-only exclusive episode. Format's the same as your regular episodes. It's just albums that maybe we've not had a chance to cover on here.
No guest, just two lads bashing it out.
Just riffing and spliffing, baby. We do them all high. We smoke Bobo before. No, we don't. Very important that we keep this. Let's keep the jokes out of this, okay? This is serious.
No jokes.
What other benefits? No adverts.
No adverts.
Our YouTube subscribers are going up week by week, so eventually, when you hit 1,000 subs on YouTube, that's when you start getting actual YouTube ads, as well as the Manscaped ad and the Patreon ad, okay? If you don't want any of that, Patreons. If you want early access by 24 hours, Patreon.
Comes out in the Monday morning.
If you want to suggest albums to cover or vote when we have polls on which bands we're going to cover next, Patreon.
I've asked the Ultras on Twitter what ideas they had. We've got some really good ideas. Mm-hmm. We're going to put a poll up on Patreon. See what people think. Give you the control. What album should we enjoy?
You will also have access to pre-sale for any live shows we do. And I'm trying to organize pre-sale for my Fringe show. I think at the very least I can do that. You're not sure yet, but we'll figure it out.
I'm going to be recording a special in a couple of months.
You're announcing that now?
Not entirely. I'm just saying get ready for the announcement. Wait, I'll take back the fact that I said that. I've got a big announcement soon.
No, you've said it.
Oh, yeah.
You've said it. Chris is going to be recording a special and pre-sale to Patreons. Wow,
they'll be fine without it.
The benefits are...
Sorry for plugging my own thing during a plug for our thing.
No, but it's going to be for Patreons, right?
They can go.
What the fuck, man?
Sorry.
You've ruined this whole thing.
Yeah, I've ruined it. Anyway, it's going to be great. We're going to have a good time. The Robbie Williams episode is class. I can't wait to begin Liam's journey with heavy metal.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be stupendous. We started with System of a Down. Now we're going back to the 80s. The new wave of British heavy metal in the early 80s and late 70s is a phenomenal place to begin your journey.
And later on in the Patreon, we're going to do this sort of longer deep dive series on some of our favourite artists as well.
Radiohead versus Metallica.
But more than anything else, if we've done this for nearly 2 years now, there's like nearly 100 episodes out there for free. If you're a fan of the pod, if you've listened to it for some or all of that time, now would be a good time to sign up and send some of the support that we need to keep on going. It is, as you say, operates on a soundness. If you like the podcast and you want us to keep doing it, then the best way to do that is to sign up to the Patreon, £5 a month. Pays for the studio, pays for everything else. So we are no longer losing money on this.
If you can't afford it, don't worry about it.
Yeah,
somebody cool. Who can afford it will pay for them, which pays for you.
Yeah, that's how it works. This episode is Godspeed You Black Emperor, a band that we, or I, commonly often complained was not on the top 500 greatest albums of all time.
Crazy that it's not.
Really, like, honestly, it's such
one of the best things I've ever experienced. Not
wild
just
omission.
Album, but a piece of anything.
So we're covering that. We've had some people say that, you know, since we moved to video, it's only albums we like, and that's blah blah blah
that's
blah
blah.
And that has kind of happened, okay? But trust me, there are some real stinkers in the coming weeks and months. Things that I am not looking forward to having to listen to. So we hear you. Your criticisms are valid.
They're not valid.
You are not valid.
Don't leave your criticisms as reviews in a
stop
podcast.
Stop listening to us, actually. Why don't you go listen to another podcast then? just kidding. Your support is...
please leave comments. We really respect them.
Very grateful. Yeah. Other than that, enjoy the episode. Manscaped ad coming up for the last time if you sign up to Patreon. No offense to Manscaped. And
huge respect. Manscaped.
Yes, to the ball shaving industry at large. And we'll see you when we're looking at you.
Peace and love.
This week's episode is brought to you by our friends at Manscaped, the number one in below the belt grooming. Both Christopher and I have upped our grooming game significantly in the last 2 months. Just before we recorded, we were both admiring each other's nude bodies, utterly hairless, clean. Beautiful.
I'm like a dolphin.
Like a dolphin with a boy's penis.
Which some of them have.
With the boy ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, have you ever seen a shark? Never mind, we're going to do an episode. Have you ever seen a shark's penis? It looks crazy. It's like a vagina. And
really?
Then the shark's vagina looks like a penis. And you think, what's going on with these sharks? But regardless, we're sponsored by Manscaped. And you should... it's not just below the belt as well. It's also... above the nostril.
I used nasal hair trimmer for realsies.
On my head as well, in my ear.
Do you get ear hair? So I haven't entered the ear hair stage in my life yet, but I do get...
I'm not older than you. You're used to it.
Yeah, but we're all through different stages of our lives. Yeah, but I don't have ear hairs. You do, so we have different stages.
What do you mean? Did you notice?
Did I notice your ear hair?
Yeah.
No, you just told me that you've used it on your ears.
Good.
I used it on my nose, and I was like, wow, this shit bangs.
No, but people were saying to me, they were like, you look like you got a daddy long legs in there, and its legs are hanging out. And now, I mean, I feel great.
What are they saying now?
They're saying, whoa, your nostrils are so smooth. And I actually have a weird shaped nose that some people bring up to me when I'm drunk and I get angry at them.
Your nose is...
Just the nostrils are kind of like diagonally oval or something, you know? Not nice. I want a round nostril, like all my heroes.
When you have visible nostrils, you don't want hair in there.
Dude, honestly, it was disgusting. People were bringing it up, and then I used this product, and my nostrils have never felt better.
I've spoken before about the I'm wearing the Manscaped boxers today because they are my favorite boxers. They're so comfortable. Whenever I've had a wash done, they're now premium first pair I wear before the next wash gets done. Every single
day. They're in the top three for me.
Great. So, hey, how do you get smooth nostrils, ears, and wonderful boxer shorts and a nice trim set of knackers? Well, you'll get the Manscaped kit. Get it on themanscaped.com. Use our code, ALBUM20. You get 20% off. We continue to get sponsored. They continue to pay for the studio. We have a good time all together, okay? One of the best ways you can support your favorite podcast and your own bollocks is by going to Manscaped and using the code ALBUM20. Do it now or after the episode, preferably after the episode.
And also, if you don't have balls and you're a lady, or you're a lady with balls, or a man who doesn't have them, whatever your configuration is, you can use this.
Whatever your configuration is, you can use this. And that's the Enjoy an Album promise.
You're listening to Enjoy an Album, the podcast where two comedians listen to some of the greatest albums of all time.
Here is an introduction to Lift Your Skinny Fists Like Antennas to Heaven by Godspeed You, Black Emperor.
Is that how you're saying it?
Ooh, there's an exclamation mark.
Godspeed You, Black Emperor. I say Godspeed You, Black Emperor.
Oh, that's what I said. Godspeed You, Black Emperor.
You said Godspeed You. No, go ahead. Sorry.
Lift Your Skinny Fists was not preceded by any singles, nor did the album catapult the band into superstardom. It peaked at 66 on the UK album charts. It was, however, seen as a seminal work in the post-rock genre. That is not to say the Canadian Collective sounded anything remotely similar to its peers. Their take on post-rock was a different beast entirely, almost comparable to the output of Michael Gira Vehicle Swans during the late 90s in its use of ascending instrumentation, spoken word samples, use of drones, and textures. While these were already trace elements of Godspeed's early work, Lift Your Skinny Fist showed these ideas become refined and bound into four painstakingly worked dystopian songs, altogether about an hour and a half in length. It's Godspeed You.
Godspeed You, Black Emperor.
Godspeed You, Black Emperor.
Have you got your record with you?
Oh, I left it out there.
I'll go and get it.
No, Kobe's going to go get
Kobe's going to get it, baby. Thank you.
Yeah, so this is an album that I own on vinyl. One of my more treasured vinyls.
The Black Licorice.
Yes, the licorice pizza itself.
Oh, shit. Sorry, that's what I meant to say.
Yes. Thank you very much. Shout out to Kobe. So here it is, my vinyl. It's pretty beautiful. We'll probably come back to this because it has the entire sort of track listing laid out as a
visual representation, a diagram.
And it has one of the most beautiful record sleeves that I own. Normally these are just like plain white, but it's got some cool illustrations. And then,
can I see? Oh, that's a skeleton, man.
And some fun photographs.
Uh-huh.
And it has this on the other one as well. So this is, however, on F Sharp, their other album, that came with a gold coin that had been crushed by a train outside the studio that it was.
How many coins did they have to do for that?
Yeah, I think originally it was like first 500 copies, and I think now they're probably replica coins. But the point is, a gold coin crushed under a train track nearby where they recorded was put in there, plus like photographs that were actually blue tacked to the inside rather than printed. So it's very much, it's a complete sensory experience.
Do you listen to it touching your wee coin?
Yes, and then I lick the vinyl as it's going round. I lay my weird tongue, next to the needle.
That'll not improve the sound.
It actually adds to the ambient nature. A little bit of saliva hitting the needle.
Yeah. You're a big post-rock guy, aren't you? Had you heard of this group before this week that you have on record?
No, this is brand new to me. Godspeed You, Black Emperor. Yeah, obviously big Godspeed head, absolute Godspeed freak. Been to see them live twice.
Once in Glasgow at the Battle Ends, the greatest venue of all time, and once where else?
In Glasgow at the, what was the one that burnt down next to the art school?
The ABC?
Yeah.
They played the O2 ABC?
Yeah.
Wow, that would be great. Biggest disco ball in Europe before fire tickets.
Disco Inferno. That night, actually, I went with my partner, and she was working at a sort of outdoor camping store at the time. I think I may have told the story in the podcast way back when, early days. Anyway, she was working at a camping store, and she was supposed to post a like special camping knife to a customer.
Uh-huh.
On her, like, she left work, was supposed to go via a post box or post office even, but forgot, and then met me at the ABC, and the bouncers were like, "What's in your bag?" And she panicked, remembering that there was a knife in her bag. So she said, "A package." And they're like, "What's in the package?" And she's like, "I don't know." She did know.
Yeah, it's a big name.
And they were like, "Well, we kind of let you in with a package if you don't even know what's in it." So we then hid it under a bush nearby.
Wow.
Presumably it would be stolen.
I'm trying to think what bush it would be.
It was
Liveswood Square or up behind it in Garnet Hill.
You know, we didn't put down the coordinates.
Well, you should have if you were going to try to find it again.
Well, we found it again. It was there 2 hours later.
What bush would be near there?
What a wild detail to get hung up on.
No, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're lying. I'm just saying I would like to know. I know that area very well.
It was a street parallel. We took it around the corner a bit. It was near, there's another train station near there, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's that called?
Charing Cross.
It was near Charing Cross Station.
Good place. Good place to hide a knife.
Good place to hide a knife. So yeah, so.
Did you ever see the post-punk band Ice Age?
Mm.
They sold knives as merch.
That's fucking wild.
So you could have said, oh, this is their merch. I bought this off them. They sell gold crushed coins.
And did they, the knives, were they like blunted or anything?
No, it was like, they were kind of flirting with a fascist aesthetic at the time.
Right. Well, that seems dumb.
Yeah.
So yeah, it seems twice. I think I said...
Leeds Tiger punched me in the face during a concert, but to be fair, I was being an asshole.
What were you doing?
Just being a bad audience member.
Why?
Doesn't matter what I talk about.
I want to know. I'm desperate to know.
It was, you know, he was on stage and I was drunk and he was drunk and he was making all these kind of Morrissey-like gestures and I wasn't a performer yet, so I didn't have an outlet for my need for attention, you know. So I went up and I put my arm around him and went, this guy's great, you know. And he fucking punched me in the face, pushed me in the face.
Right.
It was fair enough.
I don't think that's that bad.
Then I shouted that and I went, I fucking hate you, your shit or something. And everybody was like, can you leave? And I was like, no, I'm a punk.
Right.
Horrible wee guy. I'm a horrible wee guy.
This is starting to explain quite a lot. How old were you?
19.
Yeah. Well, look, we were all dumb when we were 19.
We were all dumb, full of cum.
I listened to this, the song in this album. We'll cut this later, but just in terms of like my relationship with this band prior to this week, I listened to the song Sleep to nap.
That makes sense.
It's my napping music.
Yeah.
If I know I want to have a 20-minute nap, I'll put on some headphones and I'll put on the song Sleep.
Gets quite fucking...
Yeah, and that's when it wakes you up.
At the end?
Wakes you up.
Oh, right, you go to sleep during the old man talking. Yeah. It's actually quite ageist that you find yourself able. When an old man speaks to me, I go, this is someone with wisdom.
Yeah.
I'm going to pay attention.
I don't sleep. I shut the hell up and I listen.
I sit my ass down and I listen to old people because they have so much to tell us.
It's also a lot of Godspeed I use as like, and a lot of post-rock, and this is kind of where I really got into post-rock was I use it a lot as reading music.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, there's no vocals.
Mm-hmm. It's largely instrumental music.
Yeah.
How would you explain post-rock to somebody who'd never listened to post-rock before?
Cinematic. It's supposed to, via, you know, heavy guitars, heavy-ish guitars, you know, trying to paint a sort of atmospheric picture.
I would say it was, and this is something I've come up with myself.
Okay, so you asked me as a loaded question so you could show off something that you think is clever that you've written. That's fine. This sounds like a podcast.
No, it's not. It's not a podcast. And I would say it's when people use the instrumentation of indie rock to perform music that is orchestral.
Yeah, which is accurate, I would think. It's weird, though, because Godspeed don't... If you group together all the sort of big post-rock bands, Godspeed actually stick out a bit because Mogwai aren't really like this, you know.
Well, they're all about the... Somebody called it crescendo core on Reddit that made me go, that's very funny.
They're in the big crescendos and all that.
It's taking the loud, quiet thing of the Pixies to its logical conclusion by going, here's as quiet as you can get and here's as loud as you can get and let's build to it.
Yeah, your Mogwai, Explosions in the Sky, God is an Astronaut, We Lost a Sea. Well, those guys are, We Lost a Sea, but the other guys, they tend to, I mean, they're still sort of classic Lee, sort of like, you know, 3-4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Of like recognizable songs, whereas this is much more orchestral and more like a sort of classical bit of music where it has different movements and like part of the song is completely unrecognizable to what happens 10 minutes later.
Mm-hmm.
So this, I mean, if you have to put this in a genre, it's post-rock, but like it's not a good, perfect example of post-rock because it doesn't sound like anything else.
Yeah. I got into post-rock when I was a teenager. When I was downloading, I just wanted to like dip my toe in everything, you know? I just wanted to go, if somebody's talking about something, I want to know what they're talking about. So I got into this record, Explosions in the Sky.
What was the American football drama that they did the soundtrack
Friday
to?
Friday Night Lights.
That was great.
Clear Hearts Can't Lose.
Clear Hearts, full, what's the phrase? Clear Hearts, Clear Eyes, Full Hearts Can't Lose.
Clear Eye, Full Hearts Can't Lose.
Clear Eyes.
There's no way that's
Full
true.
Hearts. Can't Lose. Tim Riggins, he was the guy. Now, here's the thing with that drama. I loved it when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was fantastic. I cared so much about those characters, more than I did my own family. But I think if I were to watch it now, I think I bet it's aged badly.
Why?
Because it was very issuesy, wasn't it? Like, they used to throw in a lot of, like, contemporary issues.
This boy's gay.
that contemporary issue. This boy's gay. Yep.
This boy's in a wheelchair.
Yep. This guy's,
they're still going on though.
This guy's an alcoholic. This guy's bipolar was a big one.
Those are still going on.
It had Meth Damon in it.
The wee ginger guy who
he was in Breaking Bad as well.
He was in The Master. Any filmos out there?
Any big filmers?
I've only seen the first half of The Master, but it was good.
Yeah, well, the second half actually I think really complements the first half, so you should probably watch the whole thing.
Not interested.
But yeah, that, so Explosion Scott. I saw them in Melbourne at the Melbourne Concert Hall. I made that up. I can't remember what it was called.
Yeah.
But I was jet lagged and I fell asleep.
I can imagine you would, yeah, because they're quite, you know, it's, yeah. I remember that one kind of slightly more obscure, and I think this is what people mean by crescendo core, was that when Explosions in the Sky came out, they were really popular and they were soundtrack and everything, and it was a bit more, you know, you can listen to that without thinking about the death of the world that you need to think about when you listen to this record. It was a bit more friendly,
a bit more accessible, whereas Godspeed is end of the world music.
Yeah,
it is like dystopian, weird, like it sounds like a soundtrack to a war that hasn't happened yet. There's always like weird marching band snares and horns, and some of the samples they use are like really fucked up as well.
Yeah, and we will get to some of the samples which I have transcribed for a delectation. But I remember one of the bands that came out after Explosions in the Sky that were kind of copying them was a band called There Will Be Fireworks, I think they were called. And I think that's what they were called anyway. And I just remember like during lockdown going up to the shop, and I was trying to go to the shop like right before it closed, because that's when it was quietest at the shop.
That's a risky maneuver.
Up the top of the road, yeah.
I used to play that game when I was an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Like, I'd had to force myself to go to the shop before 10 o'clock. And if I didn't get there in time, or if there was a big queue, then I couldn't buy booze.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's a fucking dreadful day.
I ended up getting this really good relationship with a guy up there.
Yeah.
Because what happened was I went up.
Kissed?
No. I would love to have.
Really?
No.
Oh.
Well, no. It was more than kissing.
Full penetrative sex?
No, not in that direction.
Oh.
There's other ways to get
frotting.
Deeper.
Frotting.
We weren't frottaging.
You frotted the guy at the shop.
Stop it.
How dare you, after the fucking sucking Santa's dick gate of Nina Simone, have a go at me for talking about frotting?
I went up to the shop. And he was playing crazy post-rock music. And I went up to him and I went, yeah. I've not listened to this record since I was like 17.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really like it that much then. 12 years later, you know, 10 years later, whatever. I went in and I went, is that There Will Be Fireworks? And he looked at me as if nobody had ever spoke to him about this band. And he went, yeah?
Yeah.
And I went,
that's cool.
They were good. And then, and here's what's beautiful about music. He gave me a discount on the cookies.
Wow. That's great. What cookies?
Well, it's interesting you say that because
is it?
It's cookies that are made by prisoners. And I don't know what it is about these.
Slave cookies?
No. Recently released prisoners.
Right, okay. That's better than modern slavery.
Yeah. No, it's not like that.
I was thinking the other day, modern slavery is a funny phrase, isn't it? It's like, hey, our slaves are biodegradable.
Sadly, all slaves are biodegradable.
Yeah, that's kind of the
joke. And that's kind of what this record is about.
And they gave you a discount. And then every time you went there, did you speak about other post-rock bands?
No, but I'd be like, oh, what's this you're listening to? And he'd tell me when we talk about it. But just, you know, when you find an obscure band, even by obscure standards, and you go, and you hadn't heard it, you know, it was just a nice way to connect with someone. And I always got the discount.
If, when I'm choosing songs for my walk-in music for the Edinburgh Festival.
You would never use post-rock.
No, but I have chosen songs before that on the way out, someone's gone, oh, that song. I'm like, oh, you're so cool. Like, that happened. I had a song called The Opener by a band called Camp Cope.
Oh, yes. Georgia from that band. Very cool person. Gold Sounds on Instagram.
And, okay. We found an artist that Chris Fancy is telling about.
No!
It's so obvious. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll see the little face he made when he spoke about it. But for audio listeners, Chris turned as bright as a beetroot.
It's the lightning.
I've actually never seen what they look like because I actually don't really take that into account of when I'm listening to music.
You heard the new Cap Cop record? Running with the Hurricane. They go kind of country, and I've been getting into country recently. So
yeah. Anyway, I had a song called You Opened It by Camp Cope, and I remember every now and then someone would go, oh, Camp Cope, that's fucking cool. And I'm like, you are cool. You are cool. So yeah, it's nice when you have...
I know about Camp Cope, you don't say I'm cool.
No, because you're horny.
No, I'm not.
He froze in his horniness.
I'm not. You the one talking about me fucking sucking and fucking a cookie salesman over
It's not a cookie. I mean, he sold just cookies.
No, he sold everything.
I went to a coffee shop that was, what's it called? Maybe it's called Retribution Coffee or something in London. That is like,
Retribution.
Maybe not Retribution.
Retribution.
But there was, it was a coffee place entirely sort of staffed by recent release prisoners. Mm-hmm.
There's one in Newcastle that's like their best restaurant. It's like their Michelin star restaurant, and it's all ex-prisoners.
And Timpsons are often...
Did they?
Yeah, yeah. The guy,
key cutters?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want these guys having copies of my keys.
Yeah, the guy, I guess he's Johnny Timpson or whatever. He's active on Twitter.
You steal my bloody shoes? You used to beat somebody up with them and then hand them back to me. I get arrested. Listen, no, thank you.
My grandfather was a cobbler and I will not have this anti-shoe man patter on this pod. Okay?
I'm not anti-shoe man. I'm anti-prisoners having copies of my shoes and keys.
I believe in rehabilitation, okay?
And my trophies.
And that's why I drink it, Retribution Coffee.
Retribution.
It is indeed called Redemption Roast.
Yeah, Redemption yes. Roast, not Retribution. You the guy that doped me in. Yeah. Throws a coffee in your face, that's Retribution.
Fucking keys you in the eye. I also, Godspeed, one of the ways they sort of came to the more well-known...
This was one of the big Pitchfork records.
Well, sure, okay. Yeah. But they, I think, reached a bigger audience with the soundtrack to 28 Days Later by Danny Boyle.
Yeah, and I do think that kind of reduces them a wee bit. You know, there's more going on here than, oh, this is the end of the world and it sounds like this. It does sound like that, but it's a very kind of more hopeful version of the end of the world than everybody's a fist zombie and you're getting raped by soldiers in a camp.
I've never seen the film.
Oh, well, that's what happens in it.
But it's Danny Boyle, so I expect there's some close-up scenes of zombies doing heroin. But he said that in the way that... what's the Trainspotting song? Lager, lager, lager. He said that that was basically the song of the whole film, even though there's lots of other songs in it. Every scene was sort of cut thinking about that song, and he said that that was the same with Godspeed. That every it really is. Godspeed is the whole soundtrack, even though they're only in it for a little bit. Because of the images that they evoke, which called you, I think Danny Boyle was cool. But there's something about me that makes me go, the thinks he's cringe as well.
It's just that he's successful.
You think that's it? I don't like successful people.
I don't
know any. Mm. I think, do you know what it is? I think it's because in the last 10 years, the way that people speak about the 2012 Olympic opening ceremony that he directed is incredibly cringe.
It's like, that was when Britain was good. That was when we were all just together and nobody was talking about independence or Brexit or racism. We were all just stupid cunts.
Yeah.
You know, why can't we go back to being stupid cunts who don't know anything?
Yeah, yeah.
You're cursed by knowledge, you freak. Stop reading The Guardian.
Also, there were like riots that year, right?
Yes. Yeah. That was austerity. That was the worst. Yeah. We're worse now, but that was the worst.
It's just a middle class trope of it has been. Oh, take us back to 2012 when everything was perfect and
before butter was £7.50. Oh,
yeah. When I didn't have to worry about where my cleaner was going to sleep.
Nobody was talking about trans people. And I didn't have to think about it. Shut the fuck up.
So I think that I've unfairly attached Danny Boyle to that crew. But I think
and he directed it, but you know he isn't the guy who's good. That was when Britain was perfect. Danny Boyle was fine. Danny Boyle was fine.
And the opening ceremony was a good. It was good because it was one of those things that everyone thought was going to be shit.
Mm-hmm. Well, we all thought it was going to be shit.
And then it was good. And then Arctic Monkeys were in it. Mm-hmm. You know, Spice Girls.
Yes,
we've covered both of them recently.
We're big fans.
Although I wasn't in the Arctic Monkeys episode, even though it's one of our most successful episodes. Right, Godspeed.
Digestive system.
Godspeed. Kind of reclusive band, but we've done our best to dig the dirt on their backgrounds.
Secret Paul show, secret Paul show. You do it fast and it feels like no show. Got no money, you got those pros.
Secret Paul show. Secret Paul show, yeah. Thought I'd do a mix, sort of indie rap, sort of mashup.
Work, but we're working on it.
Okay, so this fella's name is, I believe, Ephraim Menock.
Mm-hmm.
Is that? I fully expect to be called out for mispronouncing that, but you'll
keep my ears open for any others.
Ephraim Menock, and he's basically the only dude I can find any information on, and is not that much. He was born in Montreal, but grew up in Toronto. His dad, a doctor, his mother, a nurse. Now I know your middle class bells are ringing. Okay,
not for a nurse, support the nurses.
He was in. It doesn't say which one, but. He was in Hebrew day school.
Salute.
Until the age of 14. And then dropped out of high school at 17 where he became homeless and jobless.
Bruno Bosho.
He said as a teenager, he once lived in a flooded basement with two other lost kids and a litter of feral kittens. And that all of them were unfed. Unfed kittens in the basement.
Unfed kittens in the basement. Unfed which is
kittens in the basement.
Part of the fourth... Is that one of the movements in this?
Yeah. The kittens are hungry. Yeah, so I'm gonna whack the big no posho alarm.
No posho.
They had a sort of big rotating lineup for years as well. There's like loads of different people who have.
Have you listened to the early, what was it called? Drunk line and an amp fuck drilling or something.
Yeah, I mean, I've listened to everything they've ever done.
But he said, don't listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, that's not Godspeed You Black Emperor. That was a project I did that was called Godspeed You Black Emperor, but it's a vocal rock project and you're going to be disappointed if you listen to it, but you'd still listen to it.
I do what I want. I don't let Ephraim Menock tell me what the fuck to do. I'm a music journalist.
He's an anarcho-communist, so really... He shouldn't be telling people
that's
what
it
to
as well. These guys are big fucking swinging lefties, man. They lived in like this weird little commune. I say weird. It was just a house that was where they would practice, where they recorded one of their albums that they then turned into a cheap recording studio for artists to use. Mm-hmm. Bands like Arcade Fire used it. The now cancelled Arcade Fire. And it also became like a live gig space that just increasingly got out of hand because too many people were turning up. They're big. You can tell in the imagery and the.
I don't think you would have had Arcade Fire Funeral without this record, even though they don't sound that similar at all. The big heft of it.
Mm. Oh no, but there definitely is some, like you say, big crescendos in Arcade Fire's Funeral.
Funeral's like if Godspeed You Black Emperor had Bruce Springsteen in it.
It's a way of sort of subverting rock songs as well. That's in Funeral. Mm-hmm. You know that there's not really like choruses as such and. Mm. I think you're probably right, especially if you are in Canada, you're a Canadian band, then, you know, you look at who's winning the Polaris Prize and as a young musician, that's probably something that
they were pretty pissy about the Polaris Prize. They were like, we're going through a recession right now and you're giving us this.
I've got the quote. So the Polaris Prize, as you say, is like Canada's version of
the Mercury Award.
The Mercury Awards. Cobin, are you familiar with, Cobin is Canadian?
Hello.
Say some Canadians but... so people trust you.
There
we go.
Yeah. Right.
Glad to help.
that really separates you from Edinburgh people.
Oh, yeah. Going A. Massively different. In Canada, no one gives a shit about the Polaris Awards.
What?
And also, our other awards ceremony is called the Junos.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
That's pretty much like our Grammys, and no one gives a shit about them either.
Wow. This is such typical Canadian. They're just so downtrodden.
Hey, nobody cares, eh?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. We still see the Grammys. Like, there's so much crossover with the U.S. that it just feels very secondary. Like, I think Drake doesn't even, like, one of the biggest artists in the world even submit his albums for, like, Juno's consideration.
It's a bit like
it's just a waste of time.
The Scottish albums of the Scottish Music Awards and stuff, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Like, there's so much crossover with the English, you know, you have the Brits or whatever.
Doesn't that speak to the imperialism of Great Britain and the United States of America?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does actually.
Anyway, I have the quote from them. Upon receiving the Polaris Music Prize, they did not show up to the ceremony, and they donated the prize money of £30,000 to fund music programs in Quebec prisons. And they said, organizing a gala just so musicians can compete against each other for a novelty-sized check, and I looked up and it is a novelty-sized check, doesn't serve the cause of righteous music at all. Holding a gala during a time of austerity and normalized decline is a weird thing to do. Asking a Toyota Motor Company to help cover the tab for that gala during a summer where the melting northern ice caps are live streaming on the internet is fucking insane and comes across as tone deaf to the current horrifying malaise. So that's pretty fucking...
I really like the fact that they stand up for something, like, because the music is so overpowering and, like, grand. The fact that they're like, oh, by the way, we're talking about how the world is dying. It's not like a futuristic dystopia. It's like, this is what's happening just now. And also, here's how it's happening and how you can have hope and change it. Whereas, you know, some of the other post-rock bands, they're just like, this is pretty, isn't it? Doesn't actually stand for anything. It's just music for the sake of music, which is fine. But I like when a band stands for something.
Yeah, and when you go see them live, they use these sort of looped film of sometimes it's just like train tracks or whatever. But sometimes it's like fucking bombs being dropped and all this like war imagery and, you know, fucking ice caps melting and shit like that. And they do where they can, being a vocalsless band.
Instrumental, I think it's called.
Yeah, but I just try, you know, we say instrumental a lot when talking about Godspeed, so just trying to use different
it's
words.
It's also hard because instrumental can be like, that was really instrumental in becoming successful, wasn't
this
it?
Was the, I
like,
mean, these instrumental songs were instrumental in the future of instrumental music.
Where? They were, actually.
And they've said that the live experience and the looped video is actually... like really integral to what they're doing, and it doesn't really make sense until you're there watching it. Like,
I would love to see them.
I would say, you know, there's bands that are live that are good live. There's lots of bands that are live.
Status Quo, great live band.
Maybe. I mean, there are bands that are good live, some because they just fucking have so many hits, some because they're really tight, some because they've got like incredible like singers, and some because they're just like good, fun, entertaining live bands, right? Whereas this, I can't really like speak of any other band that is like a band I've seen.
It's like going to the Tate Modern, but it's good.
The Tate Modern's good. I like it.
But it's not as good as this, probably.
It's really... and I think that whenever they tour, basically everyone who likes them goes to see them every single time. Mm-hmm. Like, there's bands that I've seen a couple of times that if they're touring, they're like, I've kind of seen them. Mm-hmm. Even if they're good.
Yeah.
Even if bands I like, I'm like, I've kind of seen them. I don't need to, you know what I mean? See them every time.
Yeah.
Whereas I will see Godspeed every time I can.
There's a really, speaking of like what they stand for and stuff, there's a really cool bit on the sleeve of one of the next record after this called Yankee UXO. Mm-hmm. And it's a diagram showing off how all the record labels... the major record labels are owned by the same people who manufacture Instruments of War.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like...
Instruments of War are instrumental in killing people. And this instrumental album is instrumental in displaying that to people.
Yeah. So AOL, Time Warner, which is like Atlantic, Rhino, Elektra, American Music, Warner Brothers, they're connected literally directly to Raytheon Industries, who we've spoke about before in the LCD sound system. Episode for very obvious reasons. So they make Tomahawk cruise missiles and General Dynamics missile systems. Then you got like BMG, who are with RCA, and they're connected to Hutchinson Worldwide, which makes the shock and vibration isolators for fighter jets and military tires. Fucking Vivendi and Universal, who own Motown Records, Geffen, Polygram, Interscope, Universal. They're connected to BEE, who are in Glasgow building fighter jets and missiles and shit. Lockheed Martin.
People make Glasgow. That's why
the people
say.
Make Glasgow, and then the people in Glasgow make
weapons
that get dropped on foreign children. And that's the we should put on the site of Glasgow College, I think.
You know,
but then by the way, there's all this great information, and it's like a beautiful diagram that you're like, whoa, you cannot support any major label without also supporting the death of poor people across the world. But then they came out a while ago and said, yeah, some of that was made up.
hey, it's good to stand for something, even if that something is not real, okay? Yeah. And that's how I feel about 9/11.
Speaking of 9/11.
Well, yeah, they were once arrested.
Which you can say at any moment in any of these episodes, and it's probably true.
In 2003, the members of Godspeed were arrested for suspected terrorism charges. They were at a gas station, which it pains me to call it a gas station because...
Gas station?
It's not gas, you know?
No, it's not.
It's liquid.
That's what they want you to think. They want you to think it's gas that just comes.
Yeah, it's not. It's petrol. It's a petrol station.
It's petrol.
You fucking idiots.
It's dinosaur bones.
Please respect my culture.
Shut up, Kobe.
Shut up.
Sorry.
Idiot.
sorry. Don't say sorry. He needs to know his place. They were basically, I mean, this band, I mean, they're several sort of like Jewish members, right?
Yes.
So basically some, I guess, Jewish presenting members of a band.
When Jewish presenting?
Well, yeah. That's like when you look like the thing or certain things. Like if you're white presenting, you are someone who.
Well, they're not Jewish presenting. They're just Jewish.
Yeah, but that's the phrase of like, because you can get Jewish people who don't necessarily classically, stereotypically look Jewish, right?
No, like Hebrew people.
So the idea is, by saying Jewish presenting, is that they looked like they...
Middle Eastern.
No, it's a phrase, and it's a commonly used... Right, like,
okay. I haven't come across it in my studies.
Accepted phrase.
Yeah, good.
The point being that like, woman working in this gas station sees some people who like look Jewish, so in her sort of racist mind is like, oh, I guess they're Middle Eastern terrorists. Literally that, and then phone the police.
Yeah.
And the police come and they pull them over and they find like pictures of oil rigs and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, they're gonna help themselves with some of the projection stuff, were they?
In their merch and loads of like anti-capitalist literature.
Communist shit.
And they were taken away. They were released in time for their show and they said, thank God we are little Canadian white boys. Because if we had been Korean or something, we would be in jail just
like Korean?
He said like Korean, yeah.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
I don't think Korea did 9/11. George Bush did 9/11.
Thank you.
And that boy is not Korean, let me tell you something. I wanted to say, talking about post-rock, actually I'll save that for the playlist at the end actually, but so you listen to this when you try to sleep, this record? This is such a long record, it's an hour and a half. How do you listen to stuff like this? Is it just when you're napping or reading?
No. That the napping is specifically for a song called Sleep, which I put on when I'm like, I'm gonna sleep for 20 minutes and I have a nap, or when I'm get on a plane and it goes into flight mode, yeah. And I put on Sleep, and then normally I fall asleep, and by the time I wake up at the end of the song, we're in the sky and I've missed takeoff.
I've circled the last movement of Sleep, which is called Broken Windows / Locks of Love / third part, and I've wrote the note, love this.
It's great.
It's incredible music. Well, that sounds like the Superman theme from the 40s.
Yeah. Anyway, that's Godspeed. But generally, as I said, listeners, when I'm reading a lot of the time, it'll be music if I want to read, which adds sometimes a drama to books in an incredible way. Sometimes it doesn't really fit, you know? But that's fine. I have to listen to, like, it helps me to listen to music when I'm reading.
I remember sharing Explosions in the Sky with a friend when I was 18. We were just like, oh, yeah, I heard anything cool or weird. And I was like, listen, I've never heard anything like this. And I put Explosions in the Sky on. And then I ate a sandwich in front of him. And he just burst out laughing because he was like, this music makes you eating a sandwich just seem so dramatic and, like, epic. Because I was just like, and the music's like,
yeah, I just before the episode, I gifted you a book called A Little Life.
James is a little life by that lad going to come up this podcast.
Well, because when I was listening to Luciferian Towers by Godspeed, was when I was reading A Little Life, and I can't hear that album without thinking of A Little Life, which is a horrendously sad book, and it makes me sad. So I sometimes I see someone reading the book in public and I go, oh my God, I'm so sad.
Do you have like an emotional connection with this record? Like, does this, because I was reading some of the YouTube comments and it's fucking, deranged.
My own emotional connection with it is purely that it's, I think, spoiler alert, a pretty perfect album. And that I just, you know, I've thought about getting the artwork as a tattoo. But we'll discuss that when we do Dream Sleeves or Tattoo Woohoo. But you've got some YouTube comments.
Unhinged YouTube comment of the week. Yeah. So this isn't going to be, I'm going to do three of these.
Okay.
But the middle one's really sad and really long. So I'm going to sandwich it with quite fun ones.
Okay. Can you edit the middle one as you go maybe a little bit? No, not really. We need the whole thing. Is the A Little Life of YouTube comments?
This is the A Little Life of YouTube comments. And okay. One of the comments that I'm not going to read out was like, sometimes I listen to this record on YouTube for the whole hour and a half, and I just scroll through the comments, and they're so insane.
You do that, or
no?
Someone,
this person said that they do that, and then I did it, and I was like, yes, because it captures so much about like the issues, the human condition, themes of hope and pessimism. So the first YouTube comment, unhinged YouTube comment of the week, is from someone called Mini Lemonada.
Mini Lemonada.
Mini Lemonada. 5 years ago, Manny Lemonada said, I can't say that this is the greatest album of all time. Close to the Edge by Yes is greater than all.
Wow.
Yeah.
We covered that.
Yeah, we did. That's why I put it.
What a wild place to read. I mean,
similarities, some of those big songs.
I guess, but you know, in terms of a, I would not have had, I mean, you know what? The more I think about it, the more it makes sense.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the smartest thing I've ever heard.
Yes again, man. We need to do Yes again. Okay, Diego Sebastian.
Here we go.
This is the little life of it. This Come is on, 3 months ago as well, so it may be quite raw.
I'm pretty sure Diego Sebastian is my Deliveroo guy, but...
Why?
I think that's his name.
Your Deliveroo guy? You have a specific Deliveroo
There's
guy?
There's like a guy who comes more often than others.
Really?
Yeah.
I have that on Just Eat, but that's because the restaurant's in charge. It's not like they don't get Deliveroo drivers, they just have their own.
Mm.
Anyway. You don't get tracking with orders like that. Anyway, Diego Sebastian said, Storm got me through a very tough... Oh, sorry, start again. Please edit that out.
Nope.
Okay. 3 months ago, Diego Sebastian said, Storm got me through a very tough transitional moment in my life when I was leaving the security of a stable job to take a risk and go for a better life with my life partner overseas. This was 2 years ago when I was 30. I remember taking 2 tabs of acid and listening to it a few weeks before the flight, full of uncertainty. At the end of the song, I got this urge to speak to my mom, who was in her early 70s then and living in another continent by herself, still working. I was still tripping, of course, so I just sent her a message. We spoke the next day when I was sober, and she gave me the comfort and strength that I needed in that moment, the kind of security that only a mother can provide. I never knew my dad, so my mom was the only parent I could ever reach out to. She passed away a year later from colon cancer. She kept the cancer to herself for several years, likely 5 to 10 years, and we only found out about it a few months before her passing. I was able to fly to visit her before she passed. She began chemo, and while she was in extreme pain, all apparent signs was that recovery would be tough, but possible. They did a second biopsy to get a better understanding whether her cancer had spread to other parts of her body. She urged me to go back to my regular life and work, that I could continue on with daily life and that she would be okay. The last thing she said to me was, don't be afraid to live your life. I left the country back to my day-to-day life and she passed away 2 weeks later. The biopsy result...
What is this? Why are you telling us this?
This is... Why would you post this on YouTube? The biopsy result came back days later as I returned to deal with her death with family and begin mourning. The cancer had spread to nearly every other organ and there was no chance of a recovery. Storm once again helped me get through that awful time, a kind of therapy by music. I still can't really listen to it without tearing up. Godspeed You Black Emperor is a very, very important band to me. In several of their releases, I think they transcend music. They tap into a kind of primordial consciousness. They perfectly transmit seemingly conflicting feelings simultaneously. Melancholia and elation, beauty and ugliness, peace and violence, happiness and sadness. Such is life. Even when returning to my home country after her death, being among family, trying to enjoy our time together, which we all knew is what she would have wanted, that joy helped in getting through the misery. Love you, Mom. I'll see you in my dreams.
Okay.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
I mean, the part of the end, yeah. I think when I said, could it have been cut? I think quite a lot of the build-up...
It's all about the build-up of this record.
Well, yeah, yeah.
That was the post-rock of YouTube comments.
Yeah, you're right.
Do you have a fun one to cheer you up?
Please.
Right, okay. This is
comedy, from a comedy podcast.
5 years ago, a guy called Guylan. Maybe we can just kind of skip over some of that.
It feels like inappropriate to like speed through it, though, you know? This poor guy's talking about his mum dying of cancer and we put it on like fucking Benny Hill music behind it.
Okay, Guylan 5 years ago said, I found this album through a game called Dream Daddy.
I love Dream Daddy. It's a great dating simulator. I played it on Twitch.
Found this through a game called Dream Daddy, a dad dating simulator.
Yeah.
I ordered a Godspeed You black coffee in the game and a cool dad told me about this album. It did not disappoint. So there's so much range in the YouTube comments.
Dream Daddy is a genuinely good game.
Did you meet the Dream Daddy, the Godspeed You Black Coffee guy?
I must have, and I must have spoke. Well, I played
probably
it on Twitch.
Sucked his cock.
Hundo P probably frotted at the back whilst talking about post-rock. That seems to be the thing. Yeah, no, Dream Daddy is a good, fun dating simulator.
Yeah.
What's the other crazy dating simulator?
Pigeon One.
There is a pigeon one.
And then there's like Doki Doki.
Doki Doki Literature Club. I'll try to say that again. Doki Doki Literature Club.
So the twist in that game is that it's a dating simulator, but then halfway through it becomes a kind of Lovecraftian.
It's like a horror game, yeah.
But they spoil it, because I was going through a list of horror games and it was like Resident Evil, Resident Evil 2, Doki Doki Literature Club.
This is hard to say, isn't it, Fast?
No.
You just fucked it up.
I nailed it.
Yeah, but you struggled.
Doki Doki Literature Club. And yeah. So it spoiled it. It spoiled the twist because it was in a list full of games.
Yeah, but
of like,
it's like, to be honest, when something's been out a while, then after a while, spoilers don't count anymore. That game's been out for years. It's like The Sixth Sense. If you put that in the list of like top 10 movies with great twists and you're like, well, I can't believe that I didn't know about the twist. It's like, it's been out a long time. Fucking go over yourself.
What about like someone spoiled...
Really going into that sentence, you should have had an example ready.
Yeah, I should have had an example ready. Should have had an example for sure. I'm just thinking about that comment.
You just froze in time. Let's not reference the comment in case I actually do decide to cut the whole thing because it was so long. It was so long.
This is an hour and a half.
Sure.
This is the album.
Yeah.
What's your favorite sample?
Well, let's go through the song. There's only four songs, so I think we'll go through them one by one.
There's only four songs, but they're all 20 minutes each.
Yeah, and they're made up of different
movements. How many vinyls is this?
Two.
Two. Because there's a two CD as well.
Yeah, yeah. Two vinyls, 45 minutes aside. Is that right?
No, 20 minutes aside.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how you...
Yes, that's right.
Divide 4x4.
And here's the other one. Let's actually talk about the artwork first. So we've got...
Do the Dream Sleeves theme.
We look at the art and we rate the art and we decide if it's good or fuck.
Fart.
That's it. You know what? That jingle hasn't really been slapping. It's not been working. You know, it's not a fan favorite. But I think
the
addition of the fart noise at the end, I think, really punctuates. You know. Anyway, right. So, first off, I mean, we've got, I think, a pretty classic album cover. It's two hands that look like as if they're maybe shooting some sort of magic laser finger thing for
you
them?
Think it's a magic thing?
Or you know, or is it composing music? What do you think the two hands are supposed to be doing?
Well, I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a version of it where someone's put a cat in here so it looks like you're scratching its belly.
Right, okay.
I saw a funny one a couple of years ago and they'd replaced the Godspeed You Black Emperor hands with the St. Anger by Metallica hands,
right,
but with the same design and layout. And then I'd done a funny thing because in this one of the Metallica songs.
And then I'd done a funny thing.
And one of them,
Mummy, Daddy, I did a funny thing.
Did a funny thing. My pants come still.
Mummy, Daddy, I've done a cum.
It's your business.
Liam! Anyway. No! Look what? At my dad's voice. It's fucked up. Anyway, please.
You done my voice talking to my mum and dad? I'm not allowed to see your dad. Anyway. You don't know what that sounds like, you know, ma'am. But,
You did a funny thing.
Nah, it doesn't matter anymore. It's ruined. But I don't know. I did a funny thing. Where, on that Metallica record, there's a song. It's a really bad one. I hope we get to cover it at some point. Where it goes, my lifestyle determines my death style. So I tweeted underneath the album cover that we edited so that it said, my Godspeed determines my death speed. Nice. And I got at least 12 likes.
So I love the sleeve. I've thought about getting it as a tattoo previously.
There's a lot. I'll speak again about the Los Campesinos connection with this record towards the end. But they have a similar design that I've thought about getting tattooed, which I think is a reference to this, where it's like two hands like that, mm-hmm. with the light coming off. But they're talking about the kind of sun lines and life lines on the hand, the palmistry. But I would get two disembodied hands. Would you get this tattooed on you? The inside cover?
One of the inside covers of the record. No, what I want to say about this is, so to describe for the audio listeners, you have a sort of masked, masked president? Which president?
Ben Franklin, that is.
A masked Ben Franklin.
Who wasn't president, I don't think.
Wearing one of the founding fathers, was he? Wearing a tie with a dollar sign around it, chopping off the hands of, I guess,
a young man who's crying.
Yep. And the thing is, the illustration I really like, but it does just verge a bit on that sort of, like,
it's a bit like a new, like a the Onions cartoons where the wee guy's always in the corner and the Statue of Liberty's always crying.
It looks like, you know, every now and then you'll see like a viral post of this artist's description of modern life will make you feel things, and it's like a fucking Mickey Mouse, like,
with a phone for a head.
Yeah. Fucking throwing out like the apple, like throwing up, and it's like the Apple logo coming out, and it's sick. It's just heavy, basic.
Do you know, it's easy to criticize stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
so let's carry on doing it, because that is the point of this podcast.
But people are always like, oh man, every time you watch Black Mirror, it's just a guy who's like, oh no, I'm shagging a phone, you know, and it's like, yeah, it's a wee bit like that, but it's still good.
Yeah, but a lot of a lot of those art things aren't good though. It's like,
this says so much about society. Look, it's two people hugging, but instead of looking at each other, they're looking at their phones.
Which we've all done.
I think that says so much about society.
It does say stuff, but it's obvious.
Look, it's raining books outside, but nobody notices because they're inside watching The X Factor.
I don't think I've ever seen that one.
I'm making them up. That's how easy they are to make up. Now, I think Banksy gets thrown in the deep end with a lot of this stuff, even though I think what he has done is more interesting than that most of the time. But the sort of Banksy copycats, they're so easy to copycat that fucking Exit Through the Gift Shop is about that. With the crazy French guy.
That French guy starts copying him. It's easy to do stuff when someone else has already done it.
Right. Speaking of 9/11,
Speaking of 9/11,
what tattoos did the band in Godspeed have?
What did the Godspeed You Black Emperor version of the tattoo boy who's
We used to get tattoos on the beach.
Back
then, everybody got tattoos on the beach. We used to Google image search on the beach. It makes me sad when I think about tattoo woohoo.
So here we have it. It's the So I've really struggled because, like, a lot of the bands we do, they're like punk bands or like, you know, Matty Healy, and there's like so many like Tumblr things like, I want to suck Matty Healy's thumb and then like brush my hands on his torso and see his tattooed torso. Nobody's really doing that for this lad.
I am.
He's sexy. Don't get me wrong.
He's a cool looking motherfucker. Yeah. I'll give you that. So let's describe him. He has a big beard. And big fucking metal hair, I would say. Sort of big, long, curly.
I would say, I read an article about heavy metal and the quietus or something like that.
They'd hate heavy metal. That's so quiet and it's so loud.
Disagree. And they were saying that, you know, if you look at like heavy metal in the 80s, most heavy metal bands are ripping off other heavy metal bands.
Yep.
But over the last 20 years, the band most people have been ripping off in the heavy metal community is this record by this band.
Really?
Like there's post-metal now, which is like post-rock but heavier.
Okay.
And like Death Heaven or Liturgy, you can tell that they're influenced by these guys. And if you go through those YouTube comments for this album, there's people being like, I only listen to Emperor, Bathory, and Dark Throne, but this is the best album by any band. Like, people who like that stuff like this more than the stuff that they define themselves by.
So it's interesting because Mono sort of gets, they're sort of half metally, half post-rock. They sort of slip into both camps.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they're definitely, I mean, they were around since the 90s as well. So they were definitely inspired. So they're the band I could most see that being as a sort of crossover to.
Yeah. I hope we do get to do like Death Heaven at some point in time. You'd really dig it. So this tattoo that we're doing in this episode, the Tattoo Woohoo, Tattoo Boohoo, is, can you see what this is?
Is it forgive me for... well, you know what? I'm going to say what I think it looks like. And even if it's drastically wrong, then that puts it more in the boohoo camp. Because if I can't tell what it is by looking at a picture of it, that's the tattoo's fault. Mm-hmm. It looks like an owl.
It's a cock. It's a black cockerel.
Oh, thank God you said cockerel.
Yeah. It's a black chicken. Yeah. I have a calendar in my house. Well, last year we had the chicken calendar. And it was all beautiful. Roosters. Really grand fowl. Now we're doing otters this year.
Oh, otters, that's a bit basic, isn't it? A bit more. Tell you what my brother got me for Christmas.
We've got 10 minutes left, but yes.
We have a joke where he kind of buys me like West Ham tat. It's like, you know, all the football clubs sell a lot of club shops and they sell a lot of
bottle openers.
Yeah, so he got...
Tito's.
Last year he got me a garden gnome, a West Ham garden gnome. So that's quite funny. Yeah. That sits on my desk. This year, it's just, he got me a West Ham calendar. And with each month, there's like a different player, like holding the football. And it's just verged from tat into, this is actually embarrassing to have up.
No, it's cool.
No.
I love the roosters. Anyway, he's got a black chicken's head on his arm.
Yeah, okay.
I'm giving it a woohoo. I think it's great.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was an owl. So that puts it in the boohoo camp.
It's not the best picture.
Yeah, that's what
If you look at it this way up, you're like, that's his eye, that's his beak. Yes, it's a chicken.
It's like a...
It's very realistic interpretation of the chicken.
Realistic tattoos, isn't it?
But it's not like a woman's
photorealistic.
Because I hate photorealistic tattoos. No offense to anybody who has.
Who is the guy? There's one. I won't say who it is. But got a massive fucking water white photorealistic tattoo all over it. Like, it's massive. It's on his back.
Who's this? Is this somebody we know?
I don't think you know him. It's someone who I think used to do comedy. I don't think he does comedy anymore. But I saw it on Facebook a few years ago. He was like, got my new tattoo done. And it was a like massive photorealistic water white. And I was like, fucking Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
So I'm not crazy about photorealistic tattoos. But
this isn't one of these.
Yeah, you know, it's cool. It's like a sketch. Yeah.
I love it.
I think it's pretty cool.
Woohoo from me. Next tattoo, please, if there is one. Oh, there is. So there's another angle of the chicken.
Oh, now that looks like a chicken. Now we're talking chicken. Evidently chicken town.
And this looks like a chicken as well. And maybe this is another chicken. Maybe it's disembodied parts of a chicken.
He's got different chicken bits on his arms.
Anyway, over here, we've got, this is what I thought, a cloudburst with lightning shooting out
it. But it's like a, it looks like Godspeed style illustration.
I mean, he is Godspeed, isn't he, really?
Well,
and
yeah.
It is a lefto anarchic, you know, hierarchically unput together group.
Mm.
So there's no leader, but he is. He's kind of Godspeed.
Yeah, yeah. The that tattoo, it looks like the sort of artwork that you'd associate with Godspeed. So, yeah, that's cool AF.
And then he says Lucky on his hand underneath his little festival wristband.
Be lucky. Yeah, that's...
It's because he loves Get Lucky by Daft Punk.
I'm up on that to get some. She's up on that to have some.
We used to get some on the beach.
Well, fuck, we've got 10 minutes left and we've not spoken about the album at all.
It's phenomenal. Can I do an impression of it?
Yeah. Playing the guitar with the screwdriver.
Yeah.
That was at one point. So it is, I think it's like four songs and it's sort of, it's each side of the record It's the old 1-2 punch. So the first side is Storm and then Static, and the second side is Sleep and then Antennas to Heaven. So Storm and Sleep, the first song of each side, are your kind of more classically post-rock songs, even though they're 20 minutes and they have like fucking horns and strings and different sections. If you were going from, say, listening to Mogwai to listening to Godspeed for the first time, these are the songs that you would find the most immediately transferable. However, both songs then hit you with a second punch. Storm goes into Static, Sleep goes into Antennas to Heaven, and Static and Antennas to Heaven introduce a lot more sort of ambient noise, a lot of
music,
more,
concrete,
a lot more of crazy shit going on.
Industrial.
Static in particular, I would say, if there was going to be an inaccessible part of this album, there's a good fucking 10 minutes there of train noises, let's be honest.
There's a couple of train noises.
And there's the it's sampled with people sort of speaking through megaphones, someone making like a speech about Guard. The bit where it's like someone talking about, and you go to God and God says, you have come to my kingdom. You know that bit? And there's like French kids singing at one point. Okay.
La 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 la.
Que tu tu, qu'est-ce que c'est? Frère
Jacques. And that kind of like is then mushed into ambient sound and then into fucking rock. Each song is essentially building up to a fucking huge crescendo. And then if you're used to listening to, like, say, electronic music that likes to build to a crescendo, bands like The Whip or whatever, you're used to sort of a slow build and then eventually a big fucking drop and it goes crazy. But you have not heard a slower, more tense build than Godspeed doing this album. I mean, some of the builds are like 15 minutes long. And it is tension-inducing. It reminds you of a Christopher Nolan soundtrack where he uses repetitive music to build tension. However, they managed to keep it interesting by using sampled voices, different sounds. Sometimes it is just like, and sometimes it's a nice old man talking about, I don't sleep on the beach anymore.
There's a heartbreaking bit to the old man's speech where he goes, now it's shrunk down to almost nothing, you see, and I still remember in my mind how things used to be, and I feel very bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I've got to that point in my life where I've realized things have got worse.
It's Murray Austral. So these are just filled.
I remember when things went bad.
Field interviews.
2012 Olympics for Britain. What happened to this fucking country? We used to love each other.
I remember the 2012 Olympic opening ceremony, and then I think about things now and I feel very bad.
Yeah.
They don't sleep in the stadium anymore.
It is a soundtrack to the end of the world, yeah. And it's absolutely thrilling.
Thrilling is a good way of putting it.
This is a type of record that you experience and you go, fucking hell, man, this is crazy.
It is an experience, and it is not something to be listened to too casually. If you've never heard it, I mean, really, it's something, if you know you're going for a beautiful drive or you're going for a walk up a hill or something, it is something to be experienced in beautiful surroundings.
Speaking about experiencing it, every week we do a part of the program, a segment, if you will, to use that terminology, where we add two songs from the record.
Yeah.
And two songs inspired by the conversation. How about we decide together what one track from this record we should put on it and then have a playlist choice inspired by the conversation each?
I would say that would have to be, it's got to be Sleep, hasn't it? I mean, Storm is also, it's got to be Sleep or Storm.
I would say Sleep, just because that bit really hit me today, the Broken Windows, Locks of Love, three part, the kind of rock bit towards the end of that. And also has the iconic old man falling asleep on the beach, Coney Island.
Coney Island, they don't sleep on the beach anymore.
They don't sleep on the beach anymore, do they?
It's, you know, I think as well it's a good song to put on because I think it perfectly shows everything that Godspeed are best at. Because it has the field interviews, it has the, it's an amazing long song with the amazing long crescendo. Yeah, it has everything that Godspeed do really well. So I think that's going to be my choice. What's your other choice then?
There's a song by Los Campesinos. And I've really restrained myself from adding Los Campesinos songs to the playlist. There's not been a single one, I think.
I know, I think you have before, but go
on. All right, okay. Well, they have a song that compares post-rock to a poor relationship, wherein it goes, I think we need more post-coital and less post-rock. Feels like the build-up takes forever, but you never touch my cock. And I'm going to stick that on it.
Okay.
Because it's the build-up's too long and it isn't like a build-up. And they started as a post-rock band and then they very quickly realised they were an indie pop band in disguise.
You indie pop in disguise. My second choice is going to be a song from Australian post-rock band We Lost to Sea. They did an album called Departure Songs, which was about, each song has like a an actual story that's tied to a famous explorer, and so each song is like a specific part of their journey. And he was described as a gallant gentleman. And the first song is called Gallant Gentleman. And that is your more sort of classic 5-minute accessible post-rock song. But it's one that's not, I mean, most people know Mogwai or Explosions in the Sky or Mono, but We Lost to Sea is slightly less well-known. But I think if you like post-rock, then everyone I know who's into post-rock who has heard this album has dug it. In fact, it was comedian Matthew Winning who got me into them.
Oh, yeah.
We talk about post-rock sometimes.
He was a signature for my passport.
Wow. That's cool.
We didn't even get around to talking about the Bosuzuku.
Yeah, we should quickly say.
The Japanese motorcycle band documentary that they're named after.
Yeah, there's a documentary from 1977 called Godspeed You, Black Emperor, and that is where they got their title. And there was about a Japanese motorcycle gang called the Black Emperors. Mm-hmm. So Godspeed You, Black Emperor would be what they maybe say to each other. And it's on, you can watch it online. I watched a bit of it. It's pretty interesting.
So the interesting thing about the Black Emperors for me was the fact that a lot of these motorcycle bands, in the same way that the Hells Angels was mainly comprised of people who came back from the war and couldn't be a part of society because they had committed insane acts of violence in the name of the state. Mm. And they just were like, well, I want to just roam around with my friends on motorbikes and beat people up. You know, this was what happened. Japan is a very... it's not an individualistic place. Mm-hmm. It's like a group-based place. Mm. So people fall into, oh, I'm a salaryman, or oh, I'm a soldier. But then when you come, if you've killed, these were kamikaze pilots who came back to Japan and they were shunned because they lost the war, and they just roamed around on motorbikes, beating up people and helping people sometimes.
Godspeed you!
Really cool motorbikes. And I think that speaks to the kind of, obviously they just borrowed the phrase because it's a very cool phrase. But I also think it speaks to the message of the record, you know,
which is what we are better as a collective, and the world is ending.
The only thing you can do when the world is ending is join up. Individualism is a false promise.
Mm-hmm. And join a motorcycle gang.
Join a motorcycle gang. Soup up your Yamaha.
The Enjoy an Album Patreon will include entry ship to the Enjoy an Album motorbike gang.
If you want to become part of the Enjoy an Album Bokuzuku, one of the new Patreon bonuses is you can ride on the back of my motorbike.
Yeah.
And it'll give you a lift to the
show. I'll give you a piggyback around Edinburgh City Centre whilst making motorcycle noises. Listen, this has been a fun ep, and we've enjoyed speaking about.
Did you enjoy an album?
Of course. Of course. I own it. You know I do. Do you enjoy an album?
I own albums I don't enjoy.
Oh, okay.
I wish I had this. Liam showed up at the coffee shop where we meet before this recording, and he had a bag. And no offense, Liam, but he had a bag, and he said, "I've got a little present for you." And I seen inside the bag, and I seen this, and I went, "Oh my god, I got him a record. That's so cool." And then he gave me that fucking 900-page book.
Yeah.
And not the 900.
Well, I'll take it home.
No, I'm excited to read it. I'm sorry to disappoint you with a gift. No, I'm not disappointed.
You're such a little baby.
I'm not a baby. I'm cool. I'm a cool man.
Next week, we're listening to Definitely Maybe by Oasis for some fucking reason.
It's a good record show. Probably. I've not listened to it.
Thank you for listening. Please tell your friends and all that stuff. Continue to like, subscribe. All that biz. The Patreon comes out soon. So get on that, baby.
Peace and love in the new millennium.
Love you, bye.